There are so many methods of practicing Dharma, so many methods of the Mayanic paths, you know, explained from both Sutra and Tantra. But the ultimate goal is we have to make sure we fight with the self-sharing mind. The self-sharing mind we regard like the one soul, the enemy. You know, that's the main focus. Living future lives outside the reck, what? How to reck? Reckoning. Even these lives' needs are not fulfilled. When servants do not do their work, and the master do not pay their wages. So this, the meaning here is, if our motivation to practice Dharma is not motivated or dedicated for the benefit of future lifetimes, then no caution about actualizing liberation from samsara, we won't achieve even a slight fulfillment of this very life's happiness. So that means if we want to practice Dharma, the motivation should be dedicated from next lifetime on. Whatever good thing we do, so-called as a Dharma, virtue, for meritorious deeds, as long as we dedicate for this life's purpose, it's a non-dharma. Make a lot of offering to Buddha by thinking that, since Buddha has said that, you know, making offering to Buddha and making charity to sentient beings will accumulate a lot of wealth. So therefore that, you know, I want to be very rich so that I can make a lot of charity. Very wonderful thought, isn't it? But non-dharma, zero dharma. Because it's just only the concern, even very, very good, kind of like very kind and nice motivation, but it's within this lifetime. You know, it becomes a virtue alone, but it doesn't become a dharma. Means it will not become a cause for liberation. It won't become a cause for liberation. And he says, even this life's needs are not fulfilled. Means, that kind of virtue that we accumulate, you know, it will bounce back as a result, as a nature of contaminated suffering. Because whatever thing that we actualize in samsara, all are suffering. And that suffering will change, or pervasive suffering. There is not even a one single thing is a real happiness. So it is like that. So I think we make this, you know, very clear, because it comes from, not all the time, but one of the key points comes from every teaching. That to be very clear about our understanding, that if we want to practice Dharma purely, if we want to create a cause for liberation or enlightenment, then everything we check motivation, and our motivation should be future lifetimes benefit. Future lifetimes of, including future lifetimes of higher rebirth, then you practice Dharma. It's very, very minimum benefit, but it's still a Dharma. But if you want to like be the most powerful king to benefit, you know, poverty, to clear the poverty of all beings in the world for this lifetime, it's so wonderful thought, but it's a non-dharma. So it's like that. We are here to practice Dharma. We are not here to practice worldly Dharma or non-dharma. You know, and we are here shouldn't be satisfied by virtue. That's why social works without any Dharma background, no bodhicitta, no genuine renunciation of samsara, no understanding emptiness, then do so much charity, do so much social service, you know, it still nothing can be solid kind of cause for liberation. It will benefit others, yes, it benefit others, you know, it will clear the poverty of others, you know, can ever do see the pain in the body by consulting, you know, see the suffering of mind, but it's still samsaric thing. You know, whatever the time that you spend, still accumulation of cause of samsara alone. You know, So therefore, you know, especially in a long time in Buddhism, learning, listening, teachings, reading books, and so forth as a long time Buddha Dharma. And this part, if we are not clear, it's very, very, very pity, very sorry. You know, it's a very, very big, because the border that we have to have a clear understanding of Dharma and non-Dharma.
Shantideva
said that whatever actions that we do, we should
not even think for enlightenment. So, how do you explain
about thinking of future lifetimes and enlightenment? Because, for the concern of other sentient beings, the intensity of their negative karma and the sufferings, the world will be unable to end within by one rescue team. You know, it requires many lifetimes to walk to rescue them. So, therefore, and to actualize, honestly speaking, to actualize enlightenment also is not a simple thing. You know, it is quite definite that we have to depend on next lifetime. You know, so in order to strengthen our purpose of practice, is always there's a greater benefit, a plan for a longer journey, or preparation for a longer journey, which is to motivate for next lifetime and onwards a purpose. Yeah. I don't know whether I answered your question. Okay. So anyway, it's not self-centered mind. It's a not self-concern. You know, why you want to dedicate for next lifetime on earth, it already shows that you are not as a selfish as a person who only have a narrow-minded, only think for this life. And when we observe about concern of this life is all actually very temporary, and basically is under the influence of desire. You know, it's nothing much of like long vision to work for others. Okay, we'll just so you give an example of this thing, two words, yeah? Casting far away abundant joy that may be gained in this or future lives because of bringing harm to other beings, I ignorantly bring myself intolerable pain. So, failing to discriminate, you know, oneself after a long time knowing Dharma or after a long time never meeting Dharma, we realize that we are completely failed in our wisdom. To have the wisdom of discriminating what to be adopted, what to be abandoned, what are the causes for ultimate happiness, and what are the causes for samsara. And due to that, we really, you know, go far away from the joy and happiness, you know, which we may be able to actualize in this life as well as in future lifetime, which is by cultivation of Dharma. Cultivation of subduing this negative emotion. You know. Because of bringing harm to others, then due to ignorant mind, due to not knowing what to be abandoned, all the negative action which is harmful for others. You know, every single negative action is harmful for other beings. Due to ignorance by not abandoning that, then it will create a constant causes ignorantly, bring oneself into intolerable pain. So you see, some of the negative karma, negative thoughts, it doesn't physically harm others, but as long as we generate negative mind, it's already harm others. So you see, the moment you think of,
the moment I don't know. The moment I think of like Tenzin Sopa is very bad. You know, I didn't say the word, I didn't punch him. The moment I think of that already harmed Tenzin Sopa. You know, it is so powerful like that. The moment you think bad thing about somebody, you already harm. You know, you already create a karma basically. And the karma is in relation to someone or somebody. Means you are cause of committing others to commit negative karma. And that negative karma is the cause for that person to suffer as well as you to suffer. So it's a very tricky and very, it's almost like there's no space to escape. You know? See, everything is, you know. Okay. So you go into a retreat and you know close all the window, close all the door, or you go into a cave and keep scolding people, you know, keep thinking all the bad things of others. Constant accumulation of karma. People don't hear your scolding, but you are committing so much negative karma. You are harming constantly those people. So that means every single negative thought, negative verse, verbose, negative action is all a harmful action to others. So then that's why he says, you take a vow of no, what you call it? You take a vow of no negative speech. You talk about no negative speech, and that itself is a protection for numberless sentient beings. You say that from now on, I won't talk bad things about any negative about anybody else. Means that moment that you have granted a refuge to numberless sentient beings, protect from your harm, from speech. It's so powerful, you know. Just that commitment. You know, and how much merit that you accumulate is like, how to say, inconceivable. You see, so that's why, how wonderful and how important to take more vows and bring just by that brings so much happiness, so much protection to other sentient beings. Yeah, no. Negative action. Yeah. Mentally scolding, it's a mental karma, not a verbal.
So karma harms oneself.
How harm others? Because the others are the cause. It's a dependent, you know. Others are the cause. If other existing, you existing, other existing, you score, others get harm.
So.
No, particular line. So that's why, you know, every now and then taking 8 minor precepts is so powerful. You know, no wonder 8 minor precepts is so powerful as a protection for natural disasters, so powerful to protect us from academic diseases. You know, it regarded very powerful. It will protect from like such kind of earthquake, etc. So powerful because it's the vow that you take, even for one day, the vow that you take, you already like kind of stop karma in relation to all sentient beings. You know, karma works very funny way. You practice here, but you don't protect the karmic connection with the rest of the other beings. And the collective karma of the other being is so powerful that even how much you are protecting yourself, also you also as one of the victims, like kind of die in the earthquake, you know. If your vow or determination is not powerful enough, there's so many other ordinary beings that who don't even preserve vows and who are completely negative, force all the negative karma. You know, you may be, there's a danger of yourself also, because harm. You know, because harm by the collective force. So that's why, if we want to be safe this place, let's say, oh, the Malaysia going to have a whatever. I'm not just saying. Yeah. Also, I create karma. What to do? Just saying already create karma. So it's very bad. So anyway,
for the sake of saying. It's slightly lighter. So, say, going to be a wake or the earthquake, whatever. So, all of us, every single LDC member, because this is belong to every single LDC member. Every single LDC member put effort to be here and take minor precept, we will be protected. Because the collective karma that we have collectively protect and take refuge or provide refuge to karmic relation to the rest of the sentient being. Somehow everything will be collapsed, but we will be completely secure. You know? So if the world, I mean, who will believe you? Who will believe me or believe whatever, you know? They will say nonsense, you know? We rather build more concrete so that the earthquake won't shake or whatever. It still collapses, isn't it? Buddhist point of view, and especially through my little cultivation, I can say, if we really want to be protected from all these natural disasters, every human being, at least, the animal can help, at least every human being take equally and minor precept, world will be safe. You know, that whatever havoc were in other countries immediately will cease. All of them take a minor precept. You know? Then that they will able to protect natural disaster. You see? So like that. So anyway, can't help. Just saying, no, who will do that? I also won't do that. I understand, but I don't practice a minor precept every day, you know? So you see, those who don't know, you try to convince that it's impossible. So like that. So whatever it is, add minor precept, regard it very, very forceful. Especially like if you are making trip to certain places, and if you know that, you know, there's a tendency of natural disasters or accidents, then, you know, at least like take a minor precept. You know, it just require just 24-hour dedication. You know, then it will be very, very good. It's more powerful than, you know, hanging so many protection wheels or whatever, you know. It's much more powerful. Casting from the abundance of joy on because of bringing harm to other beings. Yeah. So verse 134 onward is actual practice of exchange, why it is necessary. All the harms with which this world is rift, all fear and suffering that there is, clinging to the I has caused it. Self-cherishing mind is the one who caused it. What am I do with this great demon? So, you know, so always find a way to demolish this demon. The construction of very firm constitution of demon. You know, constitution of demon. Ignorance as a king, attachment, anger as a prime minister, then the rest of the, you know, whatever, the delusion, all this have to be diminished. Yeah. Then war will be safe. Your happiness will be safe. Others' happiness will be safe. 135. If this I is not relinquished wholly, sorrow likewise cannot be avoided. For if he does not keep away from fire, a man cannot escape from being burned. So it's like that. You know, it's like that. He says, wholly. Just by purifying attachment, no freedom. Or ignore the attachment just by purifying anger. Can't help. Some little protection. We have to eliminate entire aspect of afflictive emotion. You know, including the root, the ignorant mind. The ignorant self-grasping mind. The I, that one. Everything. You see. Then, we will be completely protected. You know. Otherwise, we cannot blame anybody. We will be, anyway, we will be tormented by sufferings. It's like a man cannot, you know, keep away from fire, the sure will burn it, you know. So it's like that. Chopala agreed this time. Chopala loves, he agreed this time. Yeah. So 136, to free myself from harm and others from their suffering, let me give myself away and cherish others as I love myself. So like this. So when we talk about to free myself from the harm and others from their suffering, is one solution to actualize that is let me give myself away, means to dedicate oneself to benefit others. Let go of self-cherishing mind and cherish others and care for them as like how you will care for yourself. You know. So these all are like mind training. It doesn't mean that physically that you have to rescue somebody there. You know, how wonderful if you can. But here it's not asking us to divide our body pieces, thousand pieces, and you know, just to send and rescue every single person. It's not talking about that. Here it's asking us to urgently rush to actualize enlightenment. That's why, you know, earlier talked so much about solitude. Didn't say that you go into a busy crowd, you know, community, to make yourself busy from morning to night to rescue one by one. You know, didn't teach. He said you should run from this kind of environment, get into the solitude, you know, a positive solitude, a conducive place, cultivate bodhicitta. You know, mean asking, you know, to cherish other, you know, dedicate one's life to other means cultivate dharma. Practice three principles as well, the path. You know, by doing that, the effect is you become Buddha faster. When you become Buddha faster, then you can emanate thousands of bodies. Now, if you try to emanate thousands of bodies, you will collapse. You know, give up food, give up sleep, and try to rescue everywhere. You know, at the end of the day, then you everybody have to come to rescue you. You know. That's not the way, you know. That's not the way. And people believe, oh, you have to care for others, you have to cherish others, means you have to wait there to, you know, talk to everybody, you know. No. Remember that we again discussed earlier, it says there's even danger that coming in the category of indulging in idle gossip. You know, try to console, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, wear the mask. The mask is talking about wear the Ed Woolley mask. And try to please individually, you know, it's non-dharma at all. It's all about samsara, you know. And you think that you are liberating them. You say, it's not the way. It's not the way. The best way to liberate others is follow the example like Shakyamuni Buddha. You know, leave the palace and go to solitary retreat. Do like Milarepa. Leave the country and go to solitary practice. Do like Lama Koncho. Nearest example. Leave behind everything, go to solitude, actualize liberation. So it's like that, you know. So it's talking about that. Otherwise, Dalai Lama will receive a lot of criticism. Everybody say you are compassionate, generous, but you never come to Malaysia, and I never get opportunity to see you directly in front of you and talk to you. People might complain, isn't it? You see, you know, that way that we cannot describe the what you mean by compassion, the act of the Buddhas or Bodhisattvas. Compassion, the real act of the compassion of Buddha Bodhisattva is not to waste time of the worldly being. Run and cultivate the Dharma. Become Buddha. And that is the greatest benefit to the sentient beings. He says that due to lack of no wisdom and no clairvoyance, you even can't help yourself properly. You know? You thought that this is medicine, but become a poison. You know, then you take it, you say it's good for your stomach, but after putting it inside, it become a pain, you know, cause of pain. Even that, we get into mistake. You know, you sit there to show a kind of clear path to somebody is impossible. So, you know, you give like a uncooked potato, a diarrhea. Make other people all die, diarrhea or suffering. So you say you yourself not cook yet, then you try to cook other people. So it's like that. To heal myself from harm, other from the harm, so heal myself, need the challenge to heal myself. Oh, verse 37. For I am now beneath the rule of others. Of this, you must be certain. For my mind, and now no longer shall you have a thought that does not wish that benefit of beings. For I am now beneath rule of others, rule of so here's this. For now, I am now beneath the rule of others, means beneath the service of other sentient beings. Beneath the service of other sentient beings. Of this you must be certain. Make sure that this should be very clear, clear, you know, in your heart. We should know that this is very firm understanding that we must be under the service of others. Oh my mind, and now no longer shall you have thought that does not wish the benefit of others. Then make a strong determination that from now on, no longer that I will be under the control of self-cherishing mind, which I've been from beginningless lifetime. You know, and always do not wanting to benefit others. We should change that. And today, my sight and other sense it. Now the property of others. To use them for myself would be illicit. How much more so it is disallowed to use my faculties against their rightful owner. The senses, all the five senses, six faculties, entire aspect of aggregate, including the mental force, now the properties of others, now the under the surface, now the under the service of other sentient beings, or other sentient beings. To use them for myself would be useful. If you dedicate your senses, mental power, ability, everything just for yourself, then you'll be wasted. Now much more is able to use my faculties again than I went through on. So we have to make sure that whatever arrogance that we own, whatever senses that we have, all should be dedicated for the right honor, which is other sentiments. 139. Thus other will be now my chief concern, and everything I see my body has will all be seized and given for those use and service of all the sentient beings. So here is all other sentient beings we should regard like a Buddha, our guardians, our liberator and devote and a service, offer service. And whatever ability that you may have, even that you need to sacrifice your body, just to cease the hunger, like the Bodhisattva, the great-hearted, cut the body pieces and cease the hunger of the five tiger family, like that, one should be dedicated. Every single the knowledge you have, the physical body that you have, the power, mental power you have, everything, should dedicate as a wish fulfilling gem to others, to benefit others. So then verse 140 onward is training the practice of exchanging with regard to a specific antidotes. There's a general antidote, which is the general understanding of Mayanic Dharma, but then there's a specific antidotes to enhance this self-exchanging with other, to enhance this practice. So verse 140. When you perform the meditation of exchange, take others lower, higher, equal as yourself. Identify yourself as others. Then without another thought, experience envy, pride, and rivalry. So rivalry. So put yourself in the position of someone worse of the worse of them, and you allow yourself to feel envy, and put yourself in someone in the same level. Same level as yourself, then then put yourself in the better off, then allow yourself to feel the pride. So basically verse 140 up to I think verse 140 up to verse 154 is basically, it's one of the technique, you know, to engage in the practice of equanimity by, you know, when you perform the meditation of exchange, then, you know, take others lower, higher, equal as yourself, and identify yourself as other, then without another thought, without any single other thought, then experience the envy, pride, and rivalry in order for us to be completely eliminate the envy, eliminate the pride, eliminate the rivalry. So it's like that. So the verses you can just read, you know, it's basically the essence is that. So I will jump all the way to verse 154.